Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. And I just want to pick up a couple of verses at the end of the third chapter and come right in to the fourth. We've actually studied down to about verse 9 of the fourth chapter. And let me see where I want to start. In verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily. What does the exhort mean? It means to encourage, to, you know, help people to know what their position in Christ is, and to encourage them with that. Because by our natural mind, we think, you know, according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the way it works is, Eve was offered to eat of the fruit of the tree which God warned both Adam and Eve not to eat of it. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall what? Surely die. Now, what was that tree? It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. Okay. Now, by observation, what is every religious system in the world, including most of what is called Christianity, based upon? It's all based upon man's morality. You know, every single one has some code of ethics. And they vary widely, but every single a religious system in the world is based upon what man can do for God rather than what God has done for man. Now, when we get into the Bible and Christianity and the promise to Adam and Eve, you know, after they ate of the tree, then God showed them through the sacrifice of an innocent victim that they could be clothed and be in his presence. So the innocent victim was probably a lamb. By foreknowledge, then, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. And that's the only way that the sin of the world can be taken away. But the whole world, because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the whole world thinks according to what it can do for God rather than what God has done for man. And you see it in all of the major denominations, and you see it infiltrate churches that start out fundamentally sound, preaching it and teaching the truth of the grace of God, will after a while fall into the, you know, it just seems like what would I call a quicksand pit. You know, they get bogged into it and it pulls them in. Because, you know, by our natural mind we think, well, isn't good better than evil? And certainly it is. You know, good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But what man fails to see, and what he was deceived into not seeing, is that you can't be good enough for God's presence. No. Once you ate of that tree with Adam and Eve, and when they ate of it, we ate of it. Or when Adam ate of it. That's why the scripture says, as in Adam, all die. Now, once we see that, then we see the basis for salvation. And God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel, you know. And that was a promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then in verse, let's pick up here. But exhort one another in verse 13 of the third chapter. What is exhortation? That's encourage. That's speak to. Okay. Well, it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of what?
They sin.
They sin. So what is the sin? Now, they didn't put the definite article here. It's in the Greek text, you know. And I think there's about 50 times in the New Testament that we have sin in the singular with the definite article. And only, there's about 30 between the, about the fourth chapter of Romans and the eighth chapter of Romans. And then the remainder are scattered throughout the rest of the New Testament. So, the sin, what is it? It's the lie of the devil. So, when we look at this, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ. And he's saying this in the sense that, you have Christ's righteousness, I have Christ's righteousness. As long as we know that that's the only righteousness that we have. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves fit for God's presence. It takes the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. So he says, today, lest any of you be hardened, exhort one another today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of not sin, the sin. What was the sin? That's when Eve was deceived. And then she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Now it's amazing that virtually every time that you find this singular noun with the definite article, let's go back to the book of Romans for just a moment, and I'll illustrate what I'm talking about. In the fifth chapter, I said four, is five. It says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, what? It says sin. Well, that's true. By one man, sin entered into the world. But what it really says, by one man, the sin entered into the world. What was the sin? That you can be like God by disobeying God. Does that make any sense at all? No. But that's the deception. And that's what everyone is trusting in worldwide, except those that have been born again and have their faith in Jesus Christ. And for us who preach the grace of God, we're constantly accused of saying, let sin make grace might abound. And Paul spoke about them in the book of Romans, and he said their damnation is just. Because Paul never ever taught that, and we've never ever taught that. But what we have taught is when we sin, grace does abound. We're not commanding people to sin, but if we say that we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves. So that being the case, the only way we can be made fit for the presence of God is if God does it. Because we're under the condemnation of God, eternally separated from God by what? A knowledge of good and evil. That being the case then, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or charged where there is no law. Nevertheless, death, and it's not just death, it's the death. So again, we're talking about a specific death. And what was the specific death? Well, Adam and Eve died the day they ate of that tree. They didn't die physically. Adam lived 930 years. But, as we go through Scripture, man's life is shortened. And finally, in these days, the average age of man is 70 years. And you can, Debbie's always reminding me of the fact that my mother died at age 96, and my father died at age 44. You add those together, you get 140, and you divide that by two, and you get what? 70. Yeah. And if you go to the obituary, just about any, you know, I don't know whether people are still putting obituaries in the newspaper or not, but, you know, in the past, you could go there on just about any day of the week, and you'd find infants, and you'd find elderly, and you'd find people, teenagers, and people of all ages. Add them all up, divide them by the total, and almost always it comes out very close to 70. Yeah. Because that's how long we have. Yeah. Now, in my case, I came in and found the computer not working. And I recognized what the problem was. And I just tried to hook up a cable. And first thing you know, I was out of breath and having angina. So I said, all right, stupid. Too soon, though, old, too late, smart. You know, so I took a nitroglycerin, and that calmed me down a little bit. And then after a little bit, I took a second one, and then I've been okay ever since that. But I'm 91 years old, and, you know, why the Lord has kept me around this long, only He knows. You know. But as long as I have breath and a mind to do it, I'm going to do what He called me to do, and that's what? Preach the word. Be instant or diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So as we go in this book of Romans, we get over into the 6th chapter, the 7th chapter, on up to the 8th chapter, and we find these sin 30 times, all preceded by the definite article in the Greek text, and not one of them translated. Because we're not talking about sin in general, we're talking about sin in the specific. It's sin in the specific that separated us from God. Now, God, you know, all sin comes from that sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, God is an omniscient God. And the scripture says of each one of us that are saved, that He chose us when? In Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. When was that? From all eternity. So we have been eternally chosen to be in the family of God. And there's not one thing that we can do to change that. Nor is there one thing that we can do to gain that. The Lord causes the word of God to be preached, and then He gives us the faith to believe it. And there's lots of counterfeits. You know, lots of people who have mixed the lie of the devil into the truth of the word of God, so that people get, now let me say this. Good behavior is always better than bad. I already said that. Okay. But your behavior has nothing to do with your relationship with God. Why? Because the moment that God gave you the faith to believe, at the moment of your salvation, for Him, you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But there was a point in time, and the moment that took place, you died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. And you arose with Christ, and you ascended with Christ into heaven, and from God's perspective, you're already seated with Him in heaven. So how secure is the eternal security of the believer? It's eternally secure, because God can't lie. But virtually every system, and most of what's called Christianity, they've always got you doing this or doing that. Don't do this, don't do that. Now, good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But no one gets to heaven by their behavior. And We've been forgiven, therefore we are what? To be forgiving. You know, are we going to do things that we shouldn't do? Are we going to do things that hurt other people, tick other people off? Absolutely. It's just who we are. You know, but because we've been forgiven, the Lord says we're to be forgiving. So as we go through them and look at these sin, and then let's get back to Hebrews. We're talking about these sin in Hebrews as well. And so here in this third chapter, it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called the day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of these sin. What is the deceitfulness of these sin? That you can be like God by your behavior.
Yeah.
That's the deceitfulness. What is the basis of every religion in the world, including most of what's called Christianity, but it's not with those of us who believe in the grace of God. Man has got his hand in everything. Now, I'm not belying good behavior over bad behavior. Good behavior is always better. But our behavior doesn't make us right with God. Now, we're the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our faith in his sacrifice in our stead, that's what makes us right with God. And we can come to that knowledge very early, or we can come to it quite late. But if we come to it, then as far as God was concerned, you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Doesn't make any difference what your age is when you come to salvation. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, and there are no failures. No. See? So everyone that's going to be saved will be saved. Otherwise, God would not be God. God can't lie. And he chose us in Christ before there was a universe. You know, from all eternity. That's hard to put your mind around. You know. We were talking about light years a while back. And I don't want to get carried off on this. For the first time back in, when did we have the moon shot? What year was that? In the 80s? I think it was in the 80s. For the first time, we were able to see or experience the fact that sound, or not sound, but light and radio waves travel at the same speed as light, 186,000 miles per second. And they were on the moon, and they would speak, and then we'd have to wait almost 2 seconds before we get the answer. So we could actually see that the radio connection that was between the Earth, the mission control, and the astronauts, you know, speaking by radio, which, you know, travels at the same speed as light, 186,000 miles per second. You know. So we never ever recognized any, we're never far enough apart to see any time lapse. You know. So, but when we put a man on the moon, we witnessed it for the first time in man's history. You know, that light indeed travels like radio waves at 186,000 miles per second. Okay. For we are made partakers, in verse 14, of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, now this is for each individual. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, today, so there's nothing that prevents anyone from the first time they hear it to hearing it several times But as far as God is concerned, it always should be the first time. But we don't always do it the first time. We can hear the word of God preached over and over again, and we just aren't tuned in. But today, if you will hear his voice, well, we can only hear his voice when he allows us to hear his voice. So, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. What was the provocation? The Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. How was that a provocation? Look at their conduct in Egypt. And look at their conduct on the way to Sinai. And we're not talking about the Sinai Peninsula. We're talking about Arabia. Okay, that's where Mount Sinai really is. Okay? For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Albeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So, the Jews that provoked God, there were a few that believed him. But most of them provoked him because they didn't believe him. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They were delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. In type, that was salvation. But in actuality, there was no change in their spiritual minds, even though that's a portrayal of salvation. And so when they got into the wilderness, and God spoke the law to them, and what did they do? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Just think about our inabilities. Let's put it this way. Our own inability to tell the truth all the time. Do you lie? Sure you lie. Have I lied? Sure I have. I'd be lying if I said I hadn't. Why do we lie? Sometimes we lie because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And we think if we tell the truth, it would hurt their feelings. Yeah. So there's can be all kinds of justification for lying in our minds, but it's still a lie, still contrary to the truth. So he said, and to whom swear, in verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So all those Jews that said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, how many of them did it? None of them. But, you know, the Jews said they could do it, but they couldn't do it. But there were those Jews who believed the sacrificial system that when I fail under law, God's going to provide an atonement, a covering. See? We would have to put Caleb and Joshua and men of that sort in that category. So, entering chapter 4, let us therefore fear, or have reverential awe, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, the only way that there should ever be any doubt about a believer is when he begins to act like he never does anything wrong. Yeah. We're not being honest with ourselves, and we're certainly not being honest with God. But the Jews, they figured out a whole system to make themselves think they were keeping the law, because they pledged, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They should have said, we can't possibly do it. See? So, pretense doesn't get us anywhere. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what?
The faith.
It says faith, but in the Greek it says the faith. So we're not talking about individual faith or anything of a sort. We're talking about the body of revealed truth in the person and work of Christ. That's what saves us. So, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith. You know, They might have believed one or two things, but they certainly didn't think that they needed a Savior in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So, those of us who are believers, is there any time for any one of us to ever be fearful? You know, death can come at any time. You know, why I've lived as long as I have, only God knows. You know, but I'm well past the 70 years, and I'm really beginning to feel it. But one of these days, the Lord's going to say to me, Dale, come up hither. And as far as the world is concerned, you're going to see a dead body. You can send it off to be cremated or do whatever you want with it, you know. But I'm not there. And if it happens to you, you're not there if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because God takes your soul into his presence, as Paul's experience was when he was stoned to death at Lystra. He said, I knew a man in Christ above, 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to what? The third heaven, that's the very presence of God, and saw things that are what? Not lawful to be uttered. You know, I think that transition is instantaneous. Yeah. We might even travel faster than the speed of light. Yeah. But we're going to be in the presence of God instantly at the moment of death, but the presence of God is somewhere in space. Yeah. We don't know exactly where. It's just called heaven. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath. Now, we have to modify this first, and we've done it before. Scratch out the if. They shall not enter into my rest. That's what it says back in Psalm 95. You know, speaking of the Jews, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Because they thought they could keep the law. And what does law demand? There's no rest in law. Law requires performance 100% of the time. So where is there any rest in law? No. There is none. But we who have believed are at rest. Now think about how many churches under the canopy of Christianity believe that you can be saved and be lost, and be saved and be lost, and be saved and be lost. Well, they're never at rest then, are they? And if they're not at rest, they're not saved. I'm not saying that everybody in those systems is lost. There are some that are believed, irrespective of what the system itself teaches. But if you think you can be lost after you've been saved, you can't be. But if you think you can be, you're lost. It's that simple, okay? For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When was Christ crucified? Oh, you say, X number of years, 2,300 years ago, nominally speaking. He died during the first century, but he was crucified when? From all eternity. God is an omniscient God. Yeah. He knew what Adam and Eve would do, and he knew what he would do, and it was all in the works from forever. Okay. It's not, I need to put a patch on it. No. God's a perfect God. Okay. For he spake in verse 4, in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, drop the if again, they shall not enter into my rest. So take the if out, if is a negative, and put not in after shall, and you have a proper interpretation of it, or a proper translation of it. And in this place again, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Because they were in unbelief. Okay. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So, when the gospel is preached, what is the day of salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Believe it today, and you have it today. And you'll never lose it. For if Joshua, you know, in Hebrew would be, you know, Yeshua, in Greek it would be Iesos. Now, Iesos is transliterated as Jesus, and Joshua and Jesus are the same word in the Hebrew language. Okay, Yeshua. Okay, so, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Joshua took them into the land. You know, but there was no rest in the land. See? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also. Now think about this in your own mindset. Therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, that's God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So God created the universe, or the recreation of the earth was in 7 days. How long it took for the universe, it could all happen instantly. God has that kind of power. I kind of think it all happened immediately. But now and then somebody looking through a telescope sees a star that was not there before. And there's a new star. No, the light just got to where you can see it. Traveling, now you want to consider how long, we've been nearly 6,000 years on this this earth since it was recreated, and traveling at 186,000 miles, you do the math. How far away is that star that just appeared? If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. It's crazy. These crazy scientists, science is knowledge. But a whole lot of what they think is theory, it's not knowledge. Okay? Now let's turn to the third chapter of Galatians. And we'll see how this works. No matter who's writing, whether it's Apollos, or Paul, or Peter, or James, no matter who's, we have to constantly be reminded of the fact that God is an omniscient God. He knew everything from the beginning. With him, there's no such thing as time. So with respect to our salvation, we were chosen in Christ when? Before there was anything except God. Okay. And there's no way of putting, we used to, you got a billion, and then you've got a trillion, and a quadrillion, and a cinquillion, and a septillion. And after that, I don't know what to do. Okay? And that's like a snap of the fingers, okay? Let's begin in the third chapter of Galatians. Or Paul says, well, let's begin at verse 19 of the second chapter, better place. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So, was there a period of time when there were certain people under the law? Yes. Christ fulfilled it all. And since he fulfilled it, it's now been removed. So, it says, should be translated, I was crucified with Christ. When was I crucified with Christ? Well, if you want to do it in point of time when Christ was crucified, if you want to do it in the mind of God, from all eternity. Because God knew you from all eternity. See, I was crucified with Christ, so we'll put that in point of time, because there was a point in time when Christ was crucified. Yet in the mind of God, he was crucified from what? Before the foundation of the world. So, nevertheless, I live. So I was put to death, but I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the faith is the person and work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, who did for what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's incredible. Yeah. That any one of us should be loved like that. Yeah. Says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. What does that bespeak? It speaks of the grace of God. And what is grace? It's unmerited favor. So there's nothing about our salvation that we can ever put our fingers under our thumb, or our thumbs under our lapels, and boast. No, we're sinners saved by grace. And sometimes I think we forget that. Yeah. We get things on a human level too much. So Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. What would frustrate grace? Law. Because in grace there's no place for law. Christ fulfilled the law. It's done. See, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then what? Christ died uselessly or in vain. Okay? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now, Paul went to Galatia, he preached the gospel, and they readily received what he had to say. But there were some Judaizers from Jerusalem, from the church in Jerusalem, that had the idea that a Gentile couldn't be saved, as it was in the Old Testament, lest he became a Jew. And they were trying to carry that same theme along. So you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the law of Moses. Was there some logic in that? Well, based upon an Old Testament relationship between Jews and Gentiles, yes. But the fact is, Christ had to die for both. So we're both. You know, when a Jew comes to faith, he's dead to the law. As long as he hasn't come to faith, he's still trusting that he, in his Judaism, he's still being judged by the law. But with salvation, Christ is the end of the law for salvation to everyone that believeth. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now verse 1 of the third chapter. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who cast a spell on you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently or set forth? You know, you can't miss this. It was evident to everyone that was then present on the earth. Who Christ hath evidently or hath been evidently set forth, what? Crucified among you. This is only what I learn of you. Answer this in your own mind. Received ye the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. You didn't receive it by law. So how or why is just total ignorance. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, still deceiving men. We have all of these churches and all of these religions that require, you must do this, you must do that, you mustn't do this, and you mustn't do that. Now, having said that, good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But whether we had good behavior or bad behavior, it's all under the blood. You know? So that no one can boast in God's presence. And anything that we do by faith, and the law is not of faith. You know, we'll be rewarded for it because we act by faith, but there's no pat on the head, so to speak. Oh, you good little boy, you didn't lie when you had dreamed up a whopper, but you didn't actually tell it. And we all these people are always looking for something to justify themselves and, you know, condemn others. The truth of the matter, folks, is this. In the world, there's no one that's any damn good. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we think that way, you know, it took the grace of God to save me. It took the grace of God to save you. So what should we have towards one another? Grace. Yeah. Do we? Always? No. Old man is still there, you know. Okay. This is only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. How's that? By faith. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? How's that? By judging people according to their works. Or judging yourself. Say, I'm a good person. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't spit. You know why I never, so many people in my age, both my dad and mom, they both smoked. And almost everybody, all my in-laws and outlaws, family and non-family, they all smoked, you know. And that's a choice that people made. And it's a very hard habit to break, you know. But whether you do or whether you don't, you know, I'll tell you this, you're going to live as long as God intends for you to live. You know why? I never drank coffee for the same reason that I never smoked cigarettes. They both left the same bad taste in my mouth. No merit. I just didn't like, I don't know, a kid, you always have to burn your tongue on corn silk. Get a pipe out, put corn silk in it. Boy, is it burn hot. I think that cured me real quick. Anyway, there's so much more to read here, and we've got about 5 minutes, so we'll keep going here. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected or made perfect by the flesh? Well, the Judaizers were telling these Galatians that they had to keep the law or they weren't saved. Was that true? No. And Paul said about the Judaizer, because the Judaizers, thinking that, couldn't possibly be saved. Okay. So he says, are you so foolish? I reread that. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worked, I'm going to put it in modern language here, and worked miracles in your midst, doeth he yet by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? No, it's by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. God promised Abraham that of his seed, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. Well, down the line, the Jews were of the seed of Abraham. Yeah, we go back far enough. We virtually all are, from a physical standpoint. Not necessarily, but, you know, for the most part. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a natural seed and a spiritual seed. And all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ are the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are what God was talking about to Abraham when he said that all of the families of the earth would be blessed. The blessing is for the redeemed, and we're redeemed. So we are still fulfilling, you know, even though Abraham died a long time ago, we're still fulfilling God's promise to Abraham. So even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Each one of us is a believed God, and it's been accounted to us for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, my little explanation before I read the verse was an explanation of the verse. So we became the children of Abraham when God gave us the faith to believe. And for us, that was that point of time. But for God, there are no errors, no failures. You know, everyone that shall be saved will be saved. You know, and there, you know, there can't be any failures. Now, that doesn't stop us from fulfilling our responsibility to see that the gospel goes into all the world so that it can be preached, because why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So that's why we support missionaries. We can't go into all the world. No single person could. You know, even if you had supersonic travel, you know, in some places you couldn't land. You couldn't get into all the world. You know, all of that being so. So then he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That is, everyone, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the seed of Abraham. And we just, every time somebody's saved, it's just adding one more to the list. And I'll have to come back to that next time, put a note in my Bible so I don't forget. I'll do it afterwards. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we know, just by knowing ourselves, that salvation has to be by grace through faith. It has to be of God, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we just praise you and thank you that in the fullness of the times, through the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and then go to the cross of Calvary and offer yourself there as a sacrifice for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And all of this was known to thee from all eternity and put into effect, and those effects are still playing out, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.